You never really know about these things. Suppose I told Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, Jack Benny, Jimmy Durante, and Dinah Shaw. They were all part of it. What would they think? Or better yet, let me transcribe these notes to you and see what you think. I'll tell it just the way it happened, or at least the way I think it happened. Let me see now. I know it was late because the family had gone to bed. I was alone in the library reading a letter. The house was quiet. And maybe I even dozed off a bit myself. That's probably what made it all the more startling. The door chimes. At this hour? I pulled myself out of the deep chair, the half-read letter still clutched in my hand, and felt my way down the dark hall to the front door. I checked the night chain and then opened the door, only as far as the chain would allow.
Mr. Cantor?
A woman stood there, fairly well outlined by the light from the street lamps. But even now, after having sat and talked with her, I couldn't describe her to you. I switched on the porch light, drew the night chain, opened the door a little wider, and gazed at her. A bit stupidly, I guess.
Mr. Eddie Cantor?
Yes.
I see the Cardinal's letter has preceded me.
I followed her eyes down to my hand, the hand still holding the letter I'd been reading. How could she
say... May I come in?
Of course. Please do. Excuse me for being so rude. But, well, the hour... And here's the library. Won't you sit down?
Thank you, Mr. Cantor. I won't keep you long. I happened to be in the neighborhood, and I knew that Cardinal Spellman had written you...
About the New York Foundling Hospital?
Yes. You see, I'm Catherine Fitzgibbon, and the hospital is a work very close to me.
You work late, Miss Fitzgibbon.
Early and late, Mr. Cantor. I think you know what it means to provide for more than 800 children.
Well, not quite. But Cardinal Spellman has told me that...
That it takes money to care for these children. And that the New York Foundling Hospital depends partly on voluntary contributions. And that we face a deficit of about $250,000 this year.
That rather neatly sums up what the Cardinal told me.
What can be done about it, Mr. Cantor?
Well, Miss Fitzgibbon, I was thinking, or maybe dreaming when you awakened me, that the American public is usually quick to...
Yes, I know, but how do we reach the public?
I found that the radio isn't a bad medium. And if we can get up a program with people like Bing Crosby and Bob Hope and Jack Benny...
Oh, but Mr. Cantor, you can't get people like that just by snapping your fingers.
We might try.
You mean just like that?
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob, New York Foundling Hospital Hope. Telling you people, if you could see how some of those unfortunate children are living, you'd be just like Crosby's girdle and keep on giving. Thank you. This is a wonderful program for kids, you know, one that does a lot of good. And I know. I appreciate it because we didn't even have playgrounds when I was a kid. I had to play in the street, and that wasn't much fun because the dice were always rolling down gutter drains. And you know, when Crosby was a kid, they didn't have any playgrounds either. It was too dangerous with all those dinosaurs around. Back in Cleveland, my family lived on the wrong side of the tracks, underneath. And when I was young, I wasn't like other kids of 5 or 6. I was 9. I was kind of backward in school because I had weak eyes. In fact, I was so nearsighted, I was in the history class 2 years before I found out I was studying the telephone book. Till I was 18 years old, I thought Bunker Hill was captured by the Yellow Cab Company. I hung out in pool halls so much I had to chalk my fingers before I could pick up a fork. And was I mean? I was so mean my baby teeth came in 2 at a time. They were afraid to be in my mouth alone. And the kids in our neighborhood were so tough, we used to play Spin the Policeman. Now I wish I'd spent more time building myself up so Paramount would let me work bare-chested like the other actors. And they wanted Crosby to strip to the waist and pose for a movie ad. The picture was Madame Bovary. Did you ever see Crosby with his shirt off? solid jello. When you first see Crosby's chest, you think he's got a lot of hair, but it's really a bearskin money belt. Bing and I may go bare-chested in our next picture, The Road to Pneumonia. But right now, my big interest is television. My sponsor wanted me to go on for Swan Soap, but I couldn't get my head under my arm. I think television is wonderful, though. Now you'll not only hear F.E. Boone, you can watch his tonsils grind up the tobacco. I'm going to start in television in a small way. Remember that powerful drama, Oil for the Lamps of China? Well, I'm appearing in a play called 3-in-1 for the Roller Skates of Margaret O'Brien. I notice the television stars are very ritzy now, too, when they arrive at the studio. They don't wipe their feet on a regular welcome mat. They use a radio actor with hair on his chest. Really? Radio people are being shunted aside. At first, I didn't like the place they gave me to rehearse in here at NBC, but then I counted my tips. And if you're a... And if you're a television actor, the network treats you like a king. When you wash your hands, you don't have to dry them yourself. The president of NBC stands there and fans them with an usher. Thank you very much.
If you don't mind my saying so, Miss Fitzgibbon, that was a neat bit of finger snapping.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Cantor.
I said, didn't you hear?
You were saying that we could get up a radio program.
And?
Well, please, I've come a long way tonight, and there's much to be done before I return.
But listen, that was hope.
Hope, of course, we live on hope. Surely you know the story of the Foundling Hospital.
Yes, I do. Cardinal Spellman told me all about it. About Sister Mary Irene, how 100 years ago, before she dedicated herself to God's service, a strange malady struck her down. Unable to speak or give any indication of life, doctors pronounced her dead. In her agony, she made a vow to God that if he would permit her to give some evidence of life, if he would save her from being buried alive, she would consecrate her life to his service.
Yes, and that was when she saw the vision of a multitude of little children, some lying in cots, others playing joyously.
Then the powers of speech and motion were restored to her, and Sister Mary Irene was restored to her family.
Yes. Except that her name was not Sister Irene, until in 1850 she petitioned the Sisters of Charity and became a novice.
I see. And it was she, unswerving to her vow and her vision, who conceived and carried out the plans for the New York Foundling Hospital, a haven for little children.
The need was great, Mr. Cantor. And I hesitate to remind you, but it still is.
I know.
And you were saying that perhaps a radio broadcast...
Yes. I'm sure that if we reach the people, they would rally to the cause.
But how?
Would you try snapping your fingers again, Miss Fitzgibbon?
But I never snap my fingers, Mr. Cantor.
Then please, do you mind if I try it?
Well...
Thank you. Here goes.
If it's Dinah Shore you're asking for, here I be, Mr. T. And when you put your show together, this is the song I'd like to sing. I love the dear hearts and gentle people who live in my hometown. Because those dear hearts and gentle people will never ever let they read the good book from Friday till Monday. That's how the weekend goes. I've got a dream house I'll build there one day, with picket fence and rambling rose. I feel so welcome each time that I return, that my happy heart keeps laughing like a clown. I love those dear hearts and gentle people who live and love in my hometown. There's a place I'd like to be, and it's back in Tennessee, where your friendly neighbors smile and say hello. It's a pleasure and a treat to meander down the street That's why I want the whole wide world to know.
I love the dear hearts and gentle people who live in my hometown because of dear hearts and gentle people.
Shaw. Oh, she always comes through. Did you enjoy that, Miss...
Fitzgibbon. Catherine Fitzgibbon.
Yes. Did you enjoy...
Mr. Cantor, sleep is always enjoyable, but not when there's work to be done.
Sleep? You mean I...
Dozed off a bit. I do appreciate that the hour is late. So if we can complete our plans to carry on the good work of the New York Foundling Hospital...
Certainly, certainly. What we need is a show, a big show, with big stars telling the people of the superhuman efforts being made to care for the abandoned, neglected, and dependent children. Telling them of the fact that although the hospital is Catholic in origin, inspired by Sister Mary Irene, it is non-sectarian in service, having given aid to more than 100,000 children of every race, creed, and color. Why, we'll tell the listeners...
Mr. Cantor, your enthusiasm is infectious. I only hope your listeners will share it.
Share it? Why, Miss Fitzgibbon, a show like this will knock the chains right off their purses.
The chains?
Rochester, I'll be back in a few minutes. I'm going down to the ball. See those sharks in the moat are so playful. Oh, who goes there? Friend or foe?
Friend.
What's the password?
The British are coming.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Benny.
Yes, yes. We've had that password a long time now, haven't we, Ed?
Yes, ever since that night you hung the lantern in the old North Church.
Oh, yes.
By the way, Mr. Benny, did that fellow on horseback ever make it?
Why?
Huh? I had $2 on him.
Well, excuse me a minute, Ed. I'm going to open the vault.
How much money are you putting in?
Oh, nothing. You know, I'm taking some out.
Oh? Sickness in the family?
No, everything's all right. Well, I'm going to open the vault now.
Shall I take a sleeping pill?
No. No, Ed, you can watch. It's all right. See, the combination is right to 45, left to 60... Back to 15, then left to 110. There.
Wow.
be half safe. Now, let's see. $2,000. I'll take $2 from my violin teacher. I better take an extra $5. I may go to Las Vegas for the weekend. There. Well, see you later, Ed.
All right. Oh, by the way, Mr. Benny, I meant to ask you, how are things on the outside?
Winter is nearly here, and the leaves are falling.
Say, that must be exciting.
No, no. No, Ed, people are wearing clothes now.
Oh. Uh-huh. Well, goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Oh, that Jack Benny. Honestly, if I didn't know Jack better, I'd really believe all that stuff about his stinginess. You know, Miss Fitzgibbon, he... Miss Fitzgibbon?
Yes?
Please don't tell me I did it again. Don't say I was dreaming.
I don't know.
I am sorry, but... Well, I guess I'd been reading too much tonight, especially about Sister Mary Irene and her years of unselfish devotion to the work of saving New York City's abandoned babies. She must have been a remarkable woman, persevering in the face of calamity and lack of money.
Lack of money is the reason for my visit here tonight, Mr. Kent.
I know, Miss Fitzgibbon. I visited the home for the little homeless when I was in New York City. Cardinal Spellman showed me the work being done, the obstacles being overcome.
Then you know our needs, Mr. Cantor.
Know them? Why, they're as plain as the schnoz on my face.
The schnoz?
That's me, the schnoz. Better known as Gentleman Jim Durante. A man of many parts and a patron of the arts.
Let me tell you about it. Seeking my favorite diversion last night and feeling in the pink, I steps into my plush upholstered hansom. With my two footmen commanding the poop deck and my Arabian steeds going at a gentle trot, we approach the theater marquee. And what happens? The red carpet is rolled out. My two footmen descend from the poop deck. They open the door and I steps out. Looking up from the gutter, I said, who told you to remove the running board? Picking myself up and ignoring the stares of the hoi polloi, I makes my entrance gallantly into the Diamond Horseshoe. I looks around. Mrs. Van Schuyler is whispering to Mrs. Murray Hill. Mrs. Murray Hill is whispering to Mrs. Susquehanna. And what are they saying? Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Is it Superman? No, she shouted, it's a bum. You see, a vicious rumor has been circulated just because I work in a saloon. They say I'm not fit to mingle in any other circle. Why, that's ridiculous. Nightclubs is just the Mr. Hyde part of me. You have yet to meet the Dr. Jekyll. Yes, I'm Durante, the patron of the arts, and an opera critic, and a man of parts. You know, last week I went to the opera. I loved it, all but one scene. That's where the 350-pound soprano sings to the baritone. She sings, take me in your arms and hold me close. Why, to hold her close, the bum would have to be curved like a banana. Those opera lovers all rave at Handel's Largo. Why, I've heard better music written by Umbriaco. Now, what I say may sound absurd, but believe me, it's true. I've seen every opera, and I'll name them for you. Tales of the Vienna Rolls, Madame Buttermilk, and the Sextet from Lychee Nuts. I coach sopranos and tenors in their parts, 'cause I'm Durante, the patron of the arts. Now, just the other day, they held a meeting at the Metropolitan Opera House in the cellar. They said, Jimmy, we're in a hole. You gotta help us out. Stepping up on a soapbox left over from a soap opera, I said, gentlemen, let's analyze this. Now take Romeo and Juliet. Romeo wants to kiss Juliet. But does he say, slip me a smack a sister? No. He says, I will give you a kiss, my love. A burning kiss upon the lips. A burning kiss, a burning kiss, a burning, 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 burning. By the time the guy's ready to kiss her, the fire is out.
Face of the committee, I said there's only one way to save the opera. Get yourself new lyrics that aren't so silly, like Lavender Blue. With a dilly, 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 they all gave thanks from the bottom of their hearts. To Durante, the patron of the arts, a commissura. Durante, the patron of the arts.
That was just like old times, way, way back, when Jimmy and I worked in a Coney Island cafe. It seems like 100 years ago. Don't tell me, I know.
100 years ago, Sister Mary Irene dedicated her life to the welfare of unfortunate children.
Well, then I guess she never caught our act.
Mr. Cantor, Sister Irene went to her reward in 1896.
I see. And since then?
Others have consecrated themselves to the task. His Eminence Cardinal Spellman and...
I know, and believe me, I won't let you down. This drowsiness, it's never happened to me before. I'll shake it off, Miss Fitzgibbon, and I promise you, we'll put on a radio broadcast for the New York Foundling Hospital that'll make the people realize their responsibility. They'll come through.
Good. When do we start?
Right now. I'm shifting into high gear this minute. I guess the old motor sort of developed a ping for a while.
A bing?
No, ping.
Oh, I thought you said bing.
I thought he said Bing, too. But Bing or Ping, right about here, I'd like to send.
Up in the morning, out on the job, work like the devil for my pay. But that lucky old son has nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. I fuss with my woman, toil for my kids, sweat till I'm wrinkled and I'm gray, while that lucky old son has nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Good Lord above, can't you know I'm pining? Tears all in my eyes. Send down that cloud with a silver lining. Lift me to paradise. Take me across, wash all my troubles away, like that lucky old son. Give me nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. I'm up in the morning, out on a job, work like the devil for my pay. But that lucky old son has nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. I fuss with my woman, toil for my kids, sweat till I'm wrinkled and gray, while that lucky old son has nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Good Lord above, can't you know I'm pining? Tears all in my eyes. send down that cloud with a silver lining. Lift me to paradise. Show me that river. Take me across and wash all my troubles away. Like that lucky old song, give me nothing to do but roll around heaven all day.
Mr. Cantor, your mouth is open.
Oh, no, Miss Fitzgibbon, I didn't do it again.
You haven't done anything yet.
But I will. I will, I promise.
But we can't fall asleep on the job, can we?
Of course not. Not if we're to find a place to sleep for all those children who need it. Where would they have gone if Sister Mary Irene had slept, instead of working day and night to provide the money for their salvation?
Then I can depend on you, Mr. Cantor.
Most certainly, Miss Fitzgibbon.
Good. I've much to do tonight, so I'll be leaving you now.
I'll see you to the door. Now you leave everything in my hands and we'll get across the urgent need for the hospital support.
Thank you.
I'll read up a bit more on Sister Mary Irene. What a wonderful inspiration that woman was. Oh, one thing I wanted to ask you.
Yes?
You said that she took the name of Sister Irene when she joined the Sisters of Charity in 1850. Do you know what her name was before that?
Yes, but it really isn't important.
Well, it's just that in telling the story, I'd like to have all the facts. What was her name?
Fitzgibbon, Mr. Cantor. Catherine Fitzgibbon. Good night.
You never really know about these things, do you? Maybe I was dreaming. But this letter from Cardinal Spellman, that's no dream. I still have it right here in my hand. It tells me that the New York Foundling Home spent $2 million to care for the homeless child last year, and that a deficit of $200,000 was incurred. Those are facts. I didn't dream them. And if I was dreaming, I'd better wake up right now, because the need is urgent, because those wonderful little babies must have their chance at happiness somehow. I'd better tell Bing and Bob and Jack and Jimmy and Dinah. They never let anybody down. They'll do something about it.
You have heard Eddie Cantor, Bing Crosby, Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Jimmy Durante, and Dinah Shore in a broadcast transcribed in Hollywood for the New York Foundling Hospital, Catholic in origin, non-sectarian in service. This program was produced and directed by Manning Ostroff. Set your radio dial here to your local NBC station, you can rest assured that the best radio entertainment available is coming into your home. For the very best in comedy, drama, music, and news, always tune to NBC.